Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven with power and grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. And your host is the church, the way, the truth, and the life tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. Today's Thursday at 6 p.m. We have an hour Bible study. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. The number to reach us is 516-418-5944. You look for the number sign, press number 1, and you could be connected to the studio. If you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been studying, is Christianity real? And we've been looking at different powers. Hallelujah. Today is Thursday. We're going to be looking at the last one. And next week, we start off with comparing the rapture and the second coming of God. But let us go into the program that we have today. It's called Power of God in Witnessing. Glory be to the Lord. You know, many people go to court and they have a case before them. There's a judge. There's a jury. There's the accused with the district attorney, accuser. And you have the lawyer, the defense lawyer, who's going to bring forth the defense story. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But most importantly is in the case, you have evidence that is presented, whether it's material evidence or verbal evidence, which is witnesses. Well, you know, witnesses could make or break the case. And sometimes the way a witness has come over and say something could change the whole complexity of the case. So we want to thank the Lord, hallelujah, because he is a witness. Today is the power in the witness. Today is the power of God in witnesses. Glory be to the Lord. And who better than God our Father is a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no religion out there. We know there's about 4,200 religions and beliefs, but there's only one empty tomb. Glory be to the Lord. And who better witness than God himself presenting the gospel to the world? Hallelujah. And we know that if you want to read the gospel, all you have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the couple of verses there, you'll come across the gospel, what the gospel is all about. And, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters got very enthusiastic about witnessing. One of them was Peter. And if we go to the gospel of Luke, before we go on with the lesson, let us have a little time of prayer. So it won't be man ideas, but it will be the Holy Spirit who's guiding and direct us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you for everything that is happening yesterday, today, and forevermore. We want to thank you that you're in control, oh God, that is through your word that you have established in the heavens forever. Father God, is why we are here and why we promulgate, we promote, Father God, this faith in Jesus Christ. He is the true Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Glory be to the Lord. And one day, our Jewish brothers and sisters will come to the understanding that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the real Messiah, born of a virgin, as the prophet said, born in Bethlehem, as the prophet said, riding upon a donkey, like the prophet said. And he was going to have everything in authority, as the Father said. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If you go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in there it says, God, at sundries times, has spoken to us through the prophets, has in this last time spoken to us through his Son. So, Father God, we want to thank you for your word, because we know that your word stands for sure and forever. And Lord God, we thank you that you have opened up our understanding, Lord Father God, of your word, and we could promote, we could tell others of the goodness of Jesus. He is the true Yeshua HaMashiach. And as his Father said, he will be after the order of Melchizedek. And we know that's true because God the Father is not accepting any Levitical or Aaronic priesthood. All he's accepted is the Melchizedek priesthood. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But let us go to our brother Peter. Peter was a very enthusiastic young man, and he wanted to do what was right. And sometimes he didn't recognize things for what they really were, and he would put his foot in his mouth. I'll give you, for instance, there was a time where Jesus took the disciples up to the mount, and he transfigured himself before them. Peter said something that was not accepted by the Father, and the Father intervenes and says something. And let's go on ahead and let's start at verse 32. It says, but Peter and they that were with him, remember James and John was with him, heavily with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw the glory, his glory, and the two men that stood with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who were the two men that stood next to Jesus? The Bible says Elijah and Moses. In verse 33, and it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Peter didn't know. He was just overcome with everything that he saw. And he believed he needed to do a tabernacle for the gods, Jesus Christ, Abraham, Moses, and Elijah. And sure enough, that was not pleasing to God the Father. It says here in verse 34, while he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. Saying, this is my beloved son, hear ye him, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. So we see how God the Father is bearing witness of his son, Jesus Christ. He is the one that he loves. He said he calls him the beloved son. If you remember, Mary and Joseph came from Nazareth to Bethlehem because Caesar had put a decree that everyone was supposed to go to the hometown and be counted in the census. And Joseph, being of the lineage of Judah, of the tribe of Judah, of David, had to travel to Bethlehem, and he took his wife Mary with him, but she was with child, so she was on the donkey, and they traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem. But they came to Bethlehem, and they came to Bethlehem because, you know, him being from that area would have had family in Bethlehem, and they went to see if they had any room for them. But there was no room for them in the inn. In Bethlehem, a lot of people would live upstairs, and downstairs would be the caves for the animals. And they would live, the animals would live downstairs, and they would live upstairs. And one of the innkeepers said to Joseph that all they had was a stable or an inn. And so they took it, and Joseph began cleaning it and getting it ready, and Mary prepare a place where animals usually eat. And that became Jesus' place to lay down, to be rested. She wrapped him up in swaddling clothes. You remember in studying your history, swaddling clothes were the garments that the priest would wear. And she wrapped him in and put him in the manger. And as this was happening, the angels came to the shepherds in the fields, and the angels announced that in this night, the King of Israel was born. And they would find him laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's how they would recognize who Jesus was. They became witnesses of that event. They went to the inn and they found the little baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger. So they were witnesses. Joseph was a witness because the angel spoke to Joseph through dreams. Mary was a witness because the angel spoke to her. these people were witnesses of the occurrences that had taken place. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just put yourself in Brother Joseph's place or Sister Mary's place, and you're doing what you normally do at home. Suddenly, an angel appears and begins to speak to you. And he tells you prophecies of what's going to happen. And sure enough, things happen the way the angel tells you. So you become a witness of that word. And that's what Mary bear witness of the word. When she said to the angel, let your handmaiden, let it be done to your handmaiden as you said. When she agreed with the word that the angel had, boom, what happened? She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. She agreed with the word by faith. And because she agreed with the word, the baby took on human flesh. Jesus left his throne in heaven, came down and took on human flesh. So we will read that in Philippians. And so we have God the Father, who's a witness. We have Peter, James, and John, who were witnesses of what they saw, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah in the mountain. You have Joseph and Mary, who received messages from the angel Gabriel. You see the shepherds who receive messages by the angels in the sky. And they came in and they saw the baby Jesus after he was born. Just before 2 years old, we see the wise men come because they followed the star, what they call the star of David, what they call the star. It led them to the manger. It led them to Bethlehem and led them to a house where the young child was growing now. And they gave Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh because of their travels and because of what they have seen, the new star, and it meant the birth of a king. Glory. Witnesses, again, of what happened. You have Simon, who was a witness in the temple. He's saw baby Jesus and he says, now I could go home. My eyes have seen. Look. Hallelujah. Simon said, my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. And then you have the prophetess there who was praying after her husband died. She was there and she saw the baby. Be able to witness for God. And let me tell you, when you became a born-again Christian, when I became a born-again Christian, the Lord, somehow, he allowed me to see a vision. And in that vision, I could see Jesus wrapped his arms around me. A witness for the Lord. That gave me so much encouragement when I became saved because I was seeking, I was lost, and he found me. A witness of God, the power of God in witnessing. When you deny yourself and you give yourself over to God, God would use us to witness for Christ because he's the one and true, only true God. So I want to thank the Lord that he allowed this radio program, Blog Talk Radio, to exist and allowing the voice to go out in the internet throughout the world. And I just thank the Lord that I believe those that work in Blog Talk Radio, they have to censor the programs and they're hearing what is being said. And I believe that they're going to be touched by the word of God as we continue, and some of them will have a witness within themselves. Paul wrote it so beautiful. He says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't you know, Paul said, he asked a question, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit So the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who used to be alongside of us, now is within us. Christ is within us. God the Father is within us. God himself wants to dwell with mankind. And our Jewish brothers and sisters were thinking of the temple, but, you know, that's material, things made by man's hands. We were made by God. We are created his image. So he comes in and dwells within us and give us the authority, give us the power to do things in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So there is power of God in witnessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So what we're going to witness about, we're not going to say anything else but what Paul said in the Gospels. And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in there we have the gospel. I'll read it to you, and then we're going to proceed. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. And the word of God says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, see, Paul is not going to give them nothing else, and we should not be giving nothing else to those that need to be saved but the gospel. He says, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you are saved, you stand. I read that verse again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to scriptures. And now he's going to enumerate, he's going to name witnesses, people that saw Jesus Christ alive. He says in verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Hallelujah. So we see how James, Peter, and the other apostles, and the other 500 brethren, and I'm sure there was females there too, and Paul are eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we believe the word of God and we accept it, we become eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to continue, my brothers and sisters, to understand that God testified he was a witness of his son. And he gave that unto us to be a witness. You know, and it started way back when. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. And let's go to verse 10. Talking about witnesses. Verse 10, it says, ye are my witnesses. You see, there's something that if you believe and you are a witness for God the Father, you must believe what he says. And he said about his son, that he was his beloved son. He said that we ought to listen to him. Because remember, God is the one who made the heavens and the earth. He spoke it into existence. So we are witnesses of God. It says here, you are my witnesses. That's what God is saying, said the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Now, we understand that he's talking to the nation of Israel. We understand that Jehovah's Witness have adopted these verses to mean them. However, God is talking to our individual. We are witnesses of the things of the Lord. If nobody else wants to believe, I'm going to believe. If nobody wants to go to heaven, I'm going to heaven, because that's the promises of God. I'm going to be a witness for Christ. Remember, in the book of Revelations, during the tribulation time, there are two witnesses that demonstrate the power of God here on earth. They're going to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be 144,000 of Jewish evangelists who's going to go throughout the whole world and evangelize and talk about Jesus. Because Jesus says he would not come back till this gospel is preached throughout all nations. So the 144,000 Jewish evangelists will go out and be a witness for Christ. They're going to realize and they're going to see the scriptures for what it says. They're going to find out that they've been lied to by the old Pharisee and Sadducee priests. And only the Essenes were preaching the right gospel. And people might ask and wonder, but where did the Essenes go to? Well, my brothers and sisters, we are Christians now. We don't carry the name Essene any longer. We are Christians. The Bible says in Antioch, people were mocking us and called us Christians because we are followers of Christ. So that's where the Essenes went to. We came into Christianity. Glory be to the Lord. Because our forefathers in the camps in the Essene wrote about Yeshua HaMashiach. They had a calendar, and they knew a lot of stuff that the Lord had promised. And it goes on to say in verse 10, you are my witnesses, said the Lord, my servant who I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. In verse 12, it says, I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, said the Lord, that I am God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we see that even from the get-go, God has been promulgating this promise to the whole world. He's been a witness of the true Messiah, his son, his beloved son. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 44 and verse 8, and we'll see what it says there, what the word of God says. It says, fear you not, neither be afraid. Haven't I told you from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no God. I know not any. So God the Father who created the heavens and the earth, and if you remember the dual word that was used in Hebrews in the English translation of the King James, it says Elohim. God created man in his image. Male and female, he created them. And he breathed into Adam the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the problem was that he was taken out of dust. And when the body dies, it will go back to dust. Why would the body die? Because of the curse. There was a curse put on the body. There was a curse put on the earth. And there was a curse put on the serpent. Because of Adam's disobedience. and because he was allowed to be swindled, and Eve was beguiled by the serpent, and the serpent beguiled them, and they sinned before God. Hallelujah. They sinned before God. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to go over to the New Testament now, Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to see what the Word of God says, because it's very important that we read the Word. We're going to read Matthew 18, verse 16, and it says, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the midst of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." Now, we know that Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he was showing them from the Word how if someone has a problem with another, and they cannot come to a final conclusion, then they need to go to that person and bring a witness, one witness, that's him and another person, that's two, or bring two more people, that's three. Because when a person is approached, if there's a problem, and they don't want to conceive, to reconcile, then what happens, those witnesses are witnesses that you try to bring an end to the problem. And, you know, if they were to ask, you know, if you try to reconcile, they will have to say yes, because they're witnesses of what occurred. If the person does not receive your witness, if a person does not receive you because you want to reconcile, then they are supposed to go to the church, in front of the church, and do the same thing, because of the witnesses that's established. And so here, in reverse, we see that God the Father is a witness, God the Son is a witness, and God the Holy Spirit is a witness. Adam and Eve are witnesses of what occurred in Eden and in the world. And all the prophets of old received the word of God, and they were witnesses of what God was saying to his people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to go to chapter 24, and we're going to see what the Word of God says about witnessing. Chapter 24, and we're going to begin at verse 44 through 49. And the Word of God says this, "And he said unto them," talking about Jesus, talking to his disciples, "and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you, what I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And that's a witness right there, evidence. Like when I started the program, we talk about physical evidence and verbal evidence. Here we're talking about physical evidence where Moses wrote something, the Psalms wrote something, the prophets wrote something, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about Yeshua HaMashiach. And Jesus is telling the disciples, listen, these things must be fulfilled of what it was written, because they're witnesses of it. There is someplace in the scripture that says Jesus was killed before the foundations of the world. So we know that these things are happening, and we have to search it out and bring it to our knowledge and pray about it and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give us insight, give us an inspiration to understand what the written word is. And remember, we could read the Logos word, which is the written word, but we need the Rhema word. We need the Holy Spirit to inspire us to understand the word in the spirit. Why? Because Jesus said the word is spirit and the word is alive. So you might see something in the natural, in the logos part, you might read it and then come back 3 days later and the Holy Spirit open up your eyes and my goodness, the same scriptures that you read 3 days ago, it's saying something different now. And it's not that it's saying something different. It's that the Holy Spirit opened up your eyes of understanding and your heart. And that's why we need to come to God in prayer. We need to come with a pure heart and clean hands. When we open this Bible, we just don't open it like a regular book. This is the word of God. This is established in heaven forever and ever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. He says, not one dot or tittle will pass from the law until all is fulfilled. So, my brothers and sisters, we have to look at this word and say, my goodness, this word is going to testify. Because the Bible does say that in the day of judgment, it is the word that's going to judge us. Because people is going to go up to God and try all kinds of excuses, but he's going to remind them of the word. And if their names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Once again, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. and your host, the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number xylophone, the number one. Press that, and you'll be connected to the studio. If you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, we are studying the last part of Is Christianity Real? The Power of God in Witnessing. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's go on with Luke chapter 24. Let's go on from verse 45. It says, then open up he their understanding. Jesus Christ opened up the understanding of the apostles. He says that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preaching his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that's an event that occurred, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were witnesses of that event. And it occurred because Jesus Christ said to them, it will occur. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. God is good. You know, are you a witness for Jesus Christ? Do you study the word? Do you put it into practice? Do you tell others of the goodness of God, of the joy that's within you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us go over to Luke 9:35, and let's see what Luke 9:35 says. And we're going to take it in. And ask God, Father, help us apply this to us. 9:35, the word of God says, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And we spoke a little bit about this when we talk about Peter being enthusiastic. But here we have God the Father again saying, this is my beloved son. There was another time when God spoke out of the cloud, out of heaven, and that was a time when John the Baptist was going to baptize him. Jesus Christ went under the water, came up, the Holy Spirit came like a dove. The anointing came upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So we see God the Father witnessing, God the Holy Spirit witnessing of Jesus Christ, God the Son. He was fully God, and he also was fully man. A lot of people has problems with that. And all I could say is that we should pray and ask God, like he did to the disciples there in Luke 24, he opened up their understanding. And all we have to do is ask God, help me, God, and open up my understanding of the scriptures. And let me tell you, God is not just going to, he's not a magician. He's not going to overnight just, you have to input, which means you got to open the book, you got to read it, reread it, reread it, keep reading it until the scriptures open. Because just like you take a shower, you take over layers of clothing to take a shower, the Bible is like that. It's layers upon layers upon layers in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave a little hint to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, read the scriptures, for in them, they missed that part, for in them they witness of me. They are testified of me. Search out the scriptures. This is so. So he was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, go deeper than just reading the above paragraph, than just reading the surface of the Word of God. Go deeper. Get deeper into the Word of God. And you will see what the Word says. And that's what happens to us, my brothers and sisters. Okay, let us go to Acts chapter 2. Beginning of verse 29 to 32, and the Word of God says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will rise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. So, see, the problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees is that they tried to hide the fact that Jesus Christ resurrected on the third day. They paid off the Roman soldiers and told them to say that their disciples stole the body at nighttime. But that's impossible, because the Roman soldiers know that if they fall asleep, and that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees was trying to tell them, if they fall asleep, they will be killed. But the Bible says that day there was a great earthquake and lightning, and the angel came down and rolled the stone away, and Christ came out victorious, and the soldiers collapsed to the floor as of dead, because they saw Yeshua HaMashiach alive. There was something that they couldn't fathom in their mind and understand, that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. Jesus Christ being the true Messiah. So they were able to say those lies. And the thing is that we have it as a witness in our Gospels. Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have about 14 minutes to go. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Let me give you a little bit of a disclaimer, and that is that the songs that we played here on Blog Talk Radio, they don't belong to Pastor Carlos Ramos. They don't belong to the church. They don't belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. However, because we bought the CDs and DVDs in it, we will have permission to use their product. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you a little itinerary of the church. Beginning on Sundays at 6 p.m., we have Bible mysteries. We will take you to the scriptures. We will ask a question. And if you come up with the correct answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. That's every Sunday at 6 p.m. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just looking for some paperwork to let you know that this Sunday coming, we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And a lot of people say, well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible does not contradict itself. Where it appears that the Bible contradicts itself is where there is a mystery. And we have to search it out. Search the scriptures out. We have to search the scripture out to find the mystery. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll give you an example on Peter. When the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, the people that came to celebrate Pentecost, you know, they said, these men are full of new wine. Peter said, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not filled with new wine. This is that which Joel has said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Well, Peter used the word in the last days. And it was the last days for him, for the disciples, because they were being persecuted by the Roman government. They were being persecuted by the Jewish government. You know, so the Christians, a lot of Christians left Jerusalem and they went throughout the nations there in the Turkey area, you know. So, but when you read Joel, Joel says, after this, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So it would appear like Peter and Joel contradict himself. Peter says, in the last days, and Joel says, after this. Well, if you understand the history of what was occurring during the time of Peter, you will understand why he would say, in the last days. The Holy Spirit was given. They were being persecuted by all the nations. So he thought these were the last days, and it was the last days for some of them. Joel, on the other hand, said, after this, after what? Well, if you read Joel, the whole book of Joel, and it's only several chapters, you would notice that the ending part, Joel is talking about Israel's restoration. After this, after the restoration. So when would this occur? Well, in 1947-48, the nation of Israel became a state, Israel. The name of Israel stuck, and God blessed them. And if you look at the history of Israel, you know, right that same next day, their enemies began to bring war against them, but the enemies were defeated. So it's been about 75 years of the celebration of Israel being free. And so since then, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has occurred many times over. One of the famous places is the Azusa Street baptism of the Holy Spirit, where a lot of the brothers and sisters were filled with the Holy Spirit. So you see, it just appears like there's a contradiction with Peter and Joel. But when you study the history, you go a little bit deeper than just the surface of the word, you're going to realize, wait a minute, there's no contradiction here. There's a reason why Peter said in the last days, and there's a reason why Joel said after this. That's what entails in Bible mystery. We would look at a mystery and an actual question, and we come up with the correct answer. The church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful pamphlet. It's like an accordion style. You could put it in your Bible, and wherever you go, you have the opportunity to study the things of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. On Tuesdays at 3 o'clock in the morning, and pray that you'll get put the alarm clock and ask the Holy Spirit to help you get up to be a partaker of the prayer. We have intercessory prayer at 3 o'clock in the morning from 3 to 4. That is called the third watch. It is a time period in which Jesus went out to pray. Hallelujah. And at one time we used to do it at 6, but the Holy Spirit said, no, go to 3 o'clock. And we've been at 3 o'clock ever since. Praise the Lord. That's on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock in the morning. Same place, Blog Talk Radio, same telephone number, 516-418-5944. It doesn't change. I made it easier where we keep everything here on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio has been a blessing to this ministry, and there's no reason for us to change. There's no reason for us to go anywhere. And I thank Apostle Whitaker, who taught me how to use the different modems here on Blog Talk Radio, and how to use Blog Talk Radio. In the beginning, I started with the free version, which is half an hour, but a half an hour is not enough. So we went to the 1 o'clock, 1 hour mode, and you know they charge you $39, but that's okay, because what I do, you know, it comes out of the offerings of the church. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then on Thursdays like today, we have Bible study. We're looking at different subjects, topics. The mic is open. The studio is open for you to call in if you have any questions, comments, or testimonies. Glory be to God. And we've been studying this Christianity Real. And we had a part where we talked about the different powers. Today is the power of God in witnessing is our last portion. Next Thursday, we're going to begin comparing scriptures with scriptures, because that's what Isaiah said, scripture upon scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. The word of God will describe itself. We're going to be doing a comparison of the rapture and the second coming. A lot of people believe that the rapture is the second coming, and you know, a little hint, the rapture takes place in the clouds. The second coming takes place on Mount Olivet. So I would want you to stay tuned with that. Study your scriptures, see what the Lord says about the rapture, about the second coming. A lot of people think the rapture is brand new in the 1800s, but the rapture was preached. You can look it up in the Bible, even in the Old Testament, types and shadows of the rapture in the Old Testament. And God the Father, witness of his Son. Let us go on to another scripture, and we're going to be going, hallelujah, on to 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20, and then the last scripture that we're going to read is correction. Let's go to 1 John 5, beginning at verse 9-13. And we're going to read that. It says in verse 9-13, it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So here we have, brothers and sisters, you have two things that you have to look at, the witness of men, and you have to compare that to the witness of God. The witness of men, the witness of God. And the Word of God says here that the witness of God is greater. Why would you settle for anything less? You know, when the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, a judgment. For those of you who are not saved, for those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just imagine you leave this body. You know, you're going to come across the witness of God. He's going to show you and explain to you what a big mistake you made without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the one who opens up the seals. Jesus Christ is the one that brings the wrath of God upon the earth. And Jesus Christ is the one that comes to rescue Israel. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the one that calls a rapture up. And Jesus Christ is the one that comes for the second coming to rescue Israel. Glory to the Lord. So let's read this. If you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he had testified of his son. So imagine that you're in a courtroom and your star witness is coming in to testify, and your star witness is none other than God himself. And he's going to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you go in this world, God the Father is the star witness. No matter what happens, there's God the Father said in Psalms 22 and Psalm 16 that Jesus Christ would not see corruption, that he would not be left in hell. He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And sure enough, it happened that way. So God's witness is greater than any man's witness. Man's witness is fault. You know, man's witness could collapse. He that believed on the Son of God had the witness of himself. He that believed not God had made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his son. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He that had the son had life, and he that had not the son of God had not life. So my brothers and sisters, it behooves for you to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We'll be back on next Thursday as we begin the comparison between the rapture and the second coming. Hopefully you'll be here on Sunday while we have another mystery, the parable of the sower. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.